if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're in the book of James, going through the book of James. We're trying to go through the remainder of the book of Daniel and the remainder of the book of James kind of together. And the title of the message this morning is The Power of Scripture to Change Lives. We'll hit verse 21 through 25, James chapter 1. I'm in the New King James Version. And so let's get started in verse 21. It says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." A key phrase here. "And receive with meekness the implanted word." And then a little bit of a nature of it. "Which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." What encouraging verses these are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the instruction of your word, for the reproof of it, for the correction of it, for the encouragement of it, for the affirmation of it, for the power of it, the way, Lord, that it came to us, the inerrancy of it, the transmission of it, the message of it. God, we give you the glory for it, and we thank you. Lord, help us to see the importance of the Bible today and how we need it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might have heard about the search committee that was interviewing new pastors. And the church was called First Lazy Church. It was the name of it, First Lazy Church. Not really, but that's what we're going to call it. And so they're looking for a new pastor, and so they're doing interviews with people to see if they qualify. And so the applicant comes, and he shows up, and so the search committee asked and said, "What part of the Bible do you like best?" And the applicant answered and said, "I like all of it." And he said, "In fact, sirs, it's all right here. I've got it in my head. I've learned a lot about the Bible, and I just keep it up here." And so the search committee said, "Well, if you are able, can you just share a little bit about the Bible and what you've learned about the Bible?" And so the man, feeling a little bit confident, he stands up and he begins. And here's what he says. He says, "Once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And the thorns grew up and choked the man. And he went on and he met the Queen of Sheba. And she gave that man, sirs, 1,000 talents of silver and 100 changes of raiment. And he got in his chariot and drove furiously. And as he was driving along under a big tree, his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging there. And he hung there many days and many nights. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he fell on stony ground. And it began to rain, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And he hid himself in a cave. Later he went on and he met a man who said, 'Come in and take supper with me.' But he said, 'I can't come in, for I have married a wife.' And the man went out into the highways and the hedges and compelled him to come in. And he then came to Jerusalem and saw Queen Jezebel sitting high and lifted up in a window of the wall. And when she saw him, she laughed and said, and he said, 'Throw her down out of there.' And they threw her down. And he said, 'Throw her down again.' And they threw her down 70 times 7. And the fragments which they picked up filled 12 baskets full." And then the candidate looks at the committee and he says, "Now, whose wife will she be in the day of judgment?" And the search committee all looked at each other. They nodded and they said, and they agreed that this indeed was a good candidate for pastor of First Lazy Church. Now, this man obviously had bits and pieces of knowledge of the Bible, but he didn't know the Bible. There's a big difference. So when we encounter the Word of God, we're to approach the Word of God as approaching the Lord Himself. Because if you're going to get to know the Lord, you've got to hear from the Lord. And the primary way that the Lord speaks to us is through His Word. This is the God-breathed Word of God. It's inspired of the Holy Spirit. And so God moved in men as He saw fit, and He inspired this Word. Now, look at verse 18. Because verse 18 is a key verse in the book of James and in James chapter 1. And listen to what the Word can do. He says, of His own will, the His is Jesus, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And so what He's telling us in verse 18 is that we were brought forth, we experienced a new birth, a new creation that involved the Word of God. It might have been somebody sharing testimony from the Word of God or sharing the gospel extemporaneously from the Word of God. It could have been somebody that was literally reading from the Word of God or somebody that was preaching from the Word of God. But when you believed because of the testimony of this book that Jesus came, identified with sinners, that He was God 100% and man 100%, yet without sin. He lived the life that we could not live for 33 years. He died on the cross to pay a debt that He did not owe, and we owed a debt that we could not pay. And then the Bible tells that He was resurrected on the third day, and that He's given out these free pardons to people that will quit going rogue and finally say, I can't live any longer the way I'm living. I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I need to be saved. And they begin to open their ears. They stop their mouths. Let every mouth be stopped and all become guilty before God. And so they stop their mouths and they begin to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And the Holy Spirit begins to speak to their heart, and the word of truth convinces them along with the Holy Spirit that they need to be saved. And that the moment of belief from the heart, at that moment of belief from the heart, not just mental acknowledgement, heart acknowledgement, let me tell you what happens. A miracle takes place, and you become a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. And it is amazing how that works. That's what verse 18 is all about. Then he says in verse 19, now before I read verse 19, a little bit of context here. James is pastoring the church at Jerusalem. This is Christianity is taking roots and it's spreading. It's the what had been prophesied in the Old Testament that was coming in the New Covenant has already took place. Jesus has resurrected from the grave. Jesus is already at the right hand of the Father interceding on behalf of us. And so James is pastoring this church, and they are surrounded by Judaism. They're surrounded by a Roman Empire of elites, elitism, traditionalism, ritualism, all of these different things. And here's a church that is just trying to follow the way, believing in Jesus Christ, and many of them are losing their jobs because they worked for somebody that might have been in Judaism real heavy, and they didn't have a lot of social programs to help you. And so there's a lot of different trials. Not as much, it is persecution, but more trials. And so James kicks off the book in verse 2, after his salutation, after his greeting, and the very first thing he says, my brethren, book of James is talking to Christians, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He didn't say go run and hide, go camouflage in with the culture. Go look like the people around you. Just blend. Make life easy on yourself. Don't talk about Jesus too much. You're in Jerusalem. He didn't say any of those things. What James is saying, he's saying, I'm telling you, lean into your trial. Lean into your Savior. Draw closer to your Lord. And part of that, when we're being tested by those trials, is we'll be tempted to run from the Word of God instead of to the Word of God. We need the Word more than ever when we're going through a trial. Now, the first thing, and I'm going to give you a couple of things real quick on your outline. And the first one is this. Why Scripture has power to change our lives? Because it is a living, divine power. It's a divine power. It's living. Look at verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. He's saying you got to put it to the side. By the way, in verse 20, he talked about the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In verse 19, he's talking about my beloved brethren. He's talking to Christians. He's saying, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Now, why is he having to say that? Because when you're going through a trial or a test, and you're not turning to the Word of God and turning to the Lord for help, the flesh, in a sense, gets resurrected in your life, even though it's dead because you've been born again. But what you're doing is you're going back to the old man, and you're saying, I'll rely on the flesh. And let me tell you what happens when you're suffering and you rely on the flesh. Look for temper tantrums. Look for pity. Look for jealousies. Look for envies. Look for anger, outburst of anger. Look for an unbelievable amount of frustration. Look for blame. You'll begin to blame everybody and everything. Look for all these things, because when you're not turning to Jesus and you're not walking by faith in those moments, then James sees this because he knows the church to whom he's writing. So he knows what's going on. And he knows this is happening to Christians because he's calling them my beloved brethren. He's not grouping them with the lost crowd. And he's telling Christians, he's saying, therefore, you need to lay aside all filthiness. And the overflow of wickedness is happening because the heart's not right. So the heart is overflowing the wickedness. And he's just calling it what it is. He's saying, this is wickedness. This is Satan's work. And he says, but there's something you can do to correct that. He's saying to these Jewish believers, make a course correction. And here's how you do it. Receive with meekness. You know what the word here means? It's akin to humility, but it means to be teachable. It means come to the mirror of God's Word and get teachable before the Holy Spirit. It means to quit striving against God and to say, okay, God, I'm coming to you with a listening ear. And I've got a listening ear, and Lord, I need you to speak to me. And then he begins to speak to us through his Word. That's why I always say it's really important, if you have a regular time that you spend in your scriptures with the Lord, have you a notepad and an ink pen handy. Because you never know what God will speak to you, and it's good to write those things down. And just write down. You know, it can even sound a little bit silly. Wow, God, I just felt your presence just then. You know, wow, God, that just made sense to me. Wow, God, you just convicted me, and I've got to pray for a minute. I'm going to pray about something. I've got to ask for forgiveness about some things. Lord, I need to praise you for a minute and just celebrate who you are. And so it's a living divine power. A few scriptures real quick, then we'll move on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. And we know it's powerful because it's able to save your souls. By the way, when he said that in verse 21 at the end of the verse, the implanted word which is able to save your souls, he's talking to Christians. We already know that. So it's not that they need to be saved. What he's saying is, I want you to understand about the word that got you saved. It's got so much power because the message has might behind it. It has the power of God behind it. And that word that you believed in that helped you to come to know Jesus is the same word that not only saves you but sanctifies you. In other words, it grows us in the Lord. And he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But look at what it does. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. And I love this part. And is a discerner of the thoughts. We need something with discernment. The Word of God has discernment. And we bring that. We invite the Word of God with a meek spirit. The implanted Word. We invite the Word of God into our life because we know that it's Jesus behind the message. And we say, God, I come to you teachable. I come to you with meekness. Show me what I need to do. Show me where I need to repent. Draw me close to yourself. And he says, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes we're blind to our own thoughts. Sometimes we're blind to our motives or to the intents of our own hearts. And when we come to the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God opens our minds to see where things are off track. I want to give you two more scriptures and then three other points on something that I want you to write down. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there's one more thing about this word, and it's experiential power. You can experience the power of the Word of God. Now, when we take the Word of God and we just look at it like a book off the shelf, like any other book, and we just see it as words written on a page, we've approached it wrong. But when we approach the Word of God as the very Word of God, then what happens is we're hearing the voice of God. God speaks through His Word. The Holy Spirit illuminates it and makes it to where we can understand it as time goes. God doesn't sometimes open the windows of understanding at times until He opens the window of understanding in another area of the Bible. And then when He opens that understanding of that area of the Bible, a whole bunch of other areas start making sense. Y'all ever experienced what I'm talking about? It's incredible. And so we need to be experiencing the Word of God. And so here's how we experience it. There's three ways that you experience the Scripture's power. Number one is we have to move from the occasional to the continual. Look at verse 23 and 24 and 25. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. That mirror doesn't lie. A mirror tells the truth. If we look in the mirror according to verse 24, and we observe himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know what he's talking about? He's saying if you come into the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you some areas that you need to change, wherever you're at in the Scripture, and the Word of God tells you that you need to be in the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to convict, and you start sensing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you start wanting to pray and to praise the Lord, then what happens is, if you don't do that, and you look at all this, and you just walk away, and you say, yeah, God, I felt a few things that you're doing in my life, but you know what? At least I read the Bible. Check that off the list. I'll keep living the way I want to live. You know what? Your hair's going to grow this long on your ears. You're going to have hair about that long on your head from a porcupine. Everything's going to be messed up. Why? Because you're looking in the mirror, but you're not doing what the mirror's telling you to correct. That's the picture that he makes. And he says there's three things, and I'm going to be real quick. There's three things that happens to experience the Word of God. Here it is in verse 25. You'll see three things in this verse. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Did you know the Bible is flawless? The message of the Scriptures, the purpose of the Scriptures, it's flawless. The law is flawless, but we can't keep it. We had to have a Savior. So the Bible is right. It is a correct document. You can trust verse 1 all the way to the last verse in the Bible. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Now watch this. Here's a positive, not a negative. And continues in it. So the first thing we need to do to experience the power of God is to move from the occasional to the continual. And continues in. You know the hardest thing to do for a car is crank it. Cranking the car is the hardest thing to do. You know what I think one of the most important pieces of machinery under the hood is? It's the alternator. It's the generator. Because that's how we enjoy the air conditioning, the radio, the blinkers, the lights. Those lights have been real handy at night, I've noticed. All of that kind of stuff. The horn, it can't work without the alternator. But the very vehicle itself has implanted within the vehicle a way of producing a continual motion or a continual use as long as there's still fuel in the vehicle. And it's the alternator. And so, but you got to be motivated to get in the car and crank it. That's the first step. What tends to happen with us when it comes to the Bible, we say, I'm not going to read today because I don't feel like it. I'm not going to study the Bible today because I don't feel motivated to. Did you know if you talk to successful people, and I'm going to talk secular for a minute, people that are very successful in the secular world, they don't live by how they feel. They don't live, well, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like I need to do that today. I don't feel motivated to do that today. You know how they live? They live by, I see what I need to do to get to this goal, and I'm going to do that whether I feel like it or not. And what happens when we may not feel like studying the Bible this morning or at night, whenever your time works out. We may not feel like getting in the Word of God and getting with Jesus in the Word. Approach it because you're approaching God when you're in His Word. But if you do it because it's the right thing to do, you're going to be blessed because you did it. Because here's what happens. God knows your tomorrow, and He knows your next week. He already knows what you're going to face. You say, well, I don't feel like getting in the Word today. Well, you won't feel like it tomorrow either. I don't feel like it. Well, let me tell you when you'll feel like it, when your whole world comes crashing down. God wants to get you in the Word before your world comes crashing down. Then what happens is He knows your tomorrow, but because you've spent some time in the Word of God and you've spent time asking Him, you've had a meek spirit saying, make me teachable, God. Make me understand this, God. I want to know You, God. I want to know You better, Lord. I want to know Jesus so closely. I want to hear Your voice from these pages. What happens is then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart and He starts motivating you. He starts telling you things you need to do. He's saying you need to get in alignment with My Word. You need to pray for this person or something. He puts it on your heart. You need to pray for this issue over here. He puts it on your heart. You need to be more loving to your wife. Can I share this one, Tracy? Okay, I'll be real quick on this one. I made a mistake yesterday. I try to make at least one a day. And I made a big mistake yesterday. Tracy's real organized, you know. And we've got this cabinet that's got all these deals that you can put used food in. It's not used food. What do you call it? Leftovers. You put leftovers, used food. But you put your leftovers in this Tupperware thing, put the lid on it. It's one of those Rubbermaid, get the real thick red lid with the gasket. I mean, it's really good. Well, I had a 12-volt battery I took off of old landlord lawnmower that I didn't want acid to get on anything, you know, and I needed something to put it in. And I couldn't find anything, and I thought, I bet there's something in the cabinet. And so I went and got one of our nice leftover food storage containers, and the battery fit perfect. And so I drilled holes in both ends. Not the battery. I wouldn't do that. The food storage container. And I tie-strapped the battery into the container, and I thought, this has worked great. Well, conviction hit. The perfect law of liberty. 11:40 last night, it's time to confess. Trace would rather be asleep. Teresa, you know what I did today? What? When you came in the kitchen, you didn't even notice. I don't know how you didn't notice, but I took one of your food things out of there, and I've got a 12-volt battery in it, and I drilled holes in it, and I've tie-strapped a battery to it, and it's in a golf cart at church. She just kind of shook her head. She was a little bit disappointed, and I told her, I said, Teresa, I'm going to make it up. I'll get two. I'm going to buy you two. I get one, and you get two new ones. I'll carry a lid, make sure it fits to get the exact one. But I was being convicted. That's my house, too, because we're one flesh, so I can justify it. But that's her kitchen. But you know what? It's because I love Jesus I had to tell her about doing that. It's not because, well, I mean, it's because I love her, too. Let's go ahead and move on. And I only got two real quick ones. It's time to quit. So there's occasional, move from the occasional to the continual. Here's the next one. And is not a forgetful hearer. That means what you hear, not only are you letting it be applied to your life, but you're remembering it in time of need. So that when you have a time of need, you're so in the Word of God, God brings these scriptures to your remembrance or these principles or these stories, and you meditate on them. And so you're ready so that when you go through that trial, God's giving you discernment. God's giving you intents of heart. God's giving you direction. God's leading you, and you find that that problem that would have been horrible without the Word of God because you'd have made a mountain out of a molehill, now it ain't even a molehill. Now you don't even realize there really was a problem. Why? Because you're so close to the Lord, you could see it for what it really is, and you knew exactly how to react, exactly how to handle it, and you're already moved on. You hadn't made a mess out of something that shouldn't have had a mess. And then here's the third one, and that's be a doer of the work. Be a doer of the word. The last one in verse 25 is, but a doer of the work. This one comes with a promise. This one will be blessed in what he does. Isn't that powerful? He's saying if you love Jesus so much and you get in His Word and you begin to grow in Him and your heart begins to change, what will happen is you'll start looking like Him. You'll have a renewed mind. You'll be putting on the new man. You'll look like Jesus. Your life will change and you'll get to know the Savior because you're not shutting His voice off. You're hearing from Him and you hear from Him in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us something greater than ourselves. You gave us a divine standard that can teach us about everything, about the beginning, about sin, about the world, about eternity, about heaven, about hell, about marriage, about everything. We can hear it in the Word, but we don't just learn from what the words say. We also learn from what your Holy Spirit says as we understand the Word. And God, we just pray that you would help us to understand it, that you would give us illumination into your Word. There's no new revelation because your Word has already settled that. But there is a need for illumination to understand it. So God, that's our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us this week to put this into practice, what we've heard today, that we'll just simply draw close to you with a teachable spirit in your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship.
You may be in here this morning, and perhaps you've been moved that you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray right now, because if God is drawing your heart, he knows every heart. He's looking at you individually. And if you've never truly quit going rogue and totally gave your life to Jesus Christ, you need to do that right now.
That's right.
And he knows your heart. And then you need to let us know that you did that, whether it's today or tomorrow or whenever. But you only do with what God is convicting your heart to do. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you now, Lord, believing that you're God. I've watched these baptisms. I've heard this message. The Word of God has opened my mind to some areas I hadn't even considered. God, I'm tired of the sin and the rebellion that I'm living in my life. And God, I just ask that you change me, that you give me eternal life. Lord, I quit going in my direction. I don't understand it all, but I give you my heart. I give you my life right now just as it is. Lord, do for me what only you can do. Save me. I believe in the cross. I believe you died for me. I believe you're God, and I believe you arose on the third day. And you're handing out the gift of salvation. Lord, I want to receive it, and I receive it now. And I believe it by the authority of the Word of God. And the Bible says those who believe from the heart believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.